Hey guys, and welcome to the Mandalorian Roundtable for Chapter 12, The Siege, an episode that didn't really include a siege, but we're happy to forgive it because it was pretty good. And to forgive it for me, live on YouTube, Facebook, and Periscope on Twitter. We have got an amazing lineup of guests. Hey to everyone in the chat. It is pumping. But let's introduce everyone from the Star Wars Friends podcast. We have got Maggie Lovett. How are you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
I am super well. And Maggie has also got, as part of This Is The Way, they've got a fundraiser, which we will discuss in as we get on with the show. But up top, all Super Chat donations will go to the Trans Rights Law Center as part of that. So I think there's little fees or something that YouTube charges, but just whatever's the face value, we will get over to them. Returning Roundtabler from the Sith list. Someone that has survived so many Naboos that we are just happy to have him with us. Les Gonzalez, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, and that was a solid intro. So you've been taking intro lessons from Mirage over there.
Oh, my.
All right, so that's Les for the evening. Dude.
Wow.
That was very harsh.
It was there. It was there. I'm sorry.
How dare you? Now, listen. This guy, he's just been saying, hey, start whenever you want. If you want to start in another half hour, I'll be there. It's fine. It's 4 a.m. in the UK. Quite possibly, when I think about it, the first ever friend I made at a celebration, Charlie Ashby.
Hello there. Yeah, that was, I remember distinctly my first moment was getting off the tube at Celebration, listening to Steel Wars, taking my headphones out because I had to get my tickets ready, and just hearing Steel and Dominic, and I was like, oh, for God's sake, like, my headphones just dropped. I just turned it off. And I turn around and they're just walking by.
That's so cool.
That is
great to be here.
Yeah. And by cool we mean kind of sad. Let's admit it. Charlie, of course, is part of the Imperial Senate podcast, as well as our next guest, Claire Stribbs Stribling. How you doing?
Oh, I'm just killing it over here. It's been quite a weekend, so happy to be chatting more Mandalorian with you.
We've got to talk backgrounds for everyone that is just listening on the podcast. But have you got Chewbacca surfing behind you, Claire?
Oh yeah, dropping
things. Yeah, I very much do.
That's amazing.
The centerpiece of my entire backdrop.
Got all my serious posters in the background, and Chewbacca just needs to be front and center. We can't be too serious over here.
Nice, because Maggie's got like a headless Cobb van.
Let's be honest, he still looks good.
There you go. What does that mean? From the Force Toast Pod, we have got Shut Up Laura. Don't shut up, Laura. Keep talking, please.
Hello, everyone. This is really exciting. I'm excited to be here. My background is one of my plants, the Easy Plant, and then there's some Star Wars art. There's a little BB-8, but I don't know if you can see him. There it is. Yeah, there's stuff. There's just an assortment of stuff.
Love stuff. This combination of heads, I've just got like such heavy late night Star Wars Celebration bar vibes. It is
as you should.
Yeah.
leaving raincoats in hotel rooms and having still need to find them. Only that, good shenanigans at Star Wars Celebration.
Now, someone that can't let go of Star Wars Celebration, or at least its headwear, is our next guest. A man that in the pre-show revealed that he once used a toilet with Clancy Brown. That was the scoop, I think, that he was bringing to the show. It is one of my all-time favorites. Our good buddy, your good buddy. He's got more scoops than an ice creamery from Kessel Run Transmissions. Is that what it's called this week?
Yes. Pretty sure. Hey, man, what's up?
It's Corey Von Scooper himself. How you doing?
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, I was just sitting here where I talk some Mando. You know what I'm saying? Like, I really love the intro that you did today. You talked about the siege. There was no siege. I didn't actually consider that. That's pretty funny, Steel. I like that.
It's not funny, buddy. It's factual. That's what it
is. Yeah, it's factually funny. It's great.
Okay. All right. Nice. Let's get our opening thoughts. Let's lay our cards on the table. Apart from we will get to it when we get to it in the episode. There is one part of the episode that I just would like to fast forward through mentally, and we'll get to that. But apart from that, as far as like a Star Wars TV show, like if someone showed you this 2 years ago and said, "Hey, there's a Star Wars TV show. This is what happens." There's tenderness, there's funny, like little creature, there's heart, there's like backstory in the Star Wars universe, and there's crazy chases and battles. I thought this one, like, it ticked all the boxes. So I had just a really good time watching it. Maggie, how'd you go?
I really enjoyed it. I mean, I consider myself an expanded universe, like, bitter fan. So there's things in this that there were expanded universe tidbits that just, like, set off every single, like, neuron in my brain. So some of those little moments definitely, like, caught my interest.
Yeah. And also, as we'll go into, things that you're just like, oh, you're putting that in as well.
I know. I was like, oh, I like connectivity.
Hmm. It's some cool nods, some cool nods. Les, how did you go, buddy?
It was great. It was exciting. I really liked the job Carl Weathers did. So yeah, it was definitely pushed the story along, and it's been a treat. The show has been a treat at this going into this time of year right now. It's been a real, real pleasure to just be able to watch and be able to chat about it with everybody. So it's just been uplifting in some respects, you know, in a lot of respects.
On that, I think about, like, how would I be doing if I didn't have this to look forward to? Like, it has been just, like, I have a store back in Melbourne in Australia, and I, every time it gets a sale, I'm like, oh, thank you. Thank you, store, staying in business. Like, so, you know, we're, like, on a pretty heavy lockdown that just sort of lightened up. But, yeah, I just, this is holding me together. I have to admit. So thank you, Star Wars. Thank you. I feel like I'm getting like all these thousands of dollars I've invested over the years. I feel like I'm getting that back this month in psyche, like it's just encompassed.
Emotional payback.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Thank you. Kept the receipts. Charlie, how'd you go, buddy?
You know what? It's funny you mentioned about this being like a Star Wars TV show, because on the second time watching this, I just remembered the fact that a few years ago, at least growing up, this notion of a live-action Star Wars show that was always out there, but we never saw. And I was like, oh, that's never going to happen. And it just hit me. I was like, we're getting this every week, and it just feels incredible. The way I described this week's episode, it felt like A New Hope and Attack of the Clones had a baby.
Yes.
Like, there was so many different bits. Like, it had, like, the corridor scenes all felt like A New Hope, but there was these, like, weird elements that felt very Attack of the Clones. So I loved it.
Yeah. And then that baby got car sick.
Yeah.
So good. Just, and it's just a small bit that's like, you go, okay, relatable. Like, this is a show about this weird cult guy who's going out with a baby. You know, they're fighting space fascists. But you're like, but I can relate to the Karsic scene. That's good.
Well, the cult thing's so weird how, because I've just like finished up watching The Vow and then that, what was the other one called? Seduced, which is about the Nexium cult. Mm-hmm. So when like Bo-Katan's saying, oh, you're in this cult, I'm just like, oh, you need to get out. It just, I know it seemed like it was trying to help people, but it's, you know, you got to, what's even like, the point of not taking your helmet off?
If you think we're having it bad, Mando has to give away like 60% of his wages to this Mando cult every year.
Hey, yeah,
it's
they
like
are.
Tides, you know,
he was using that money to help. This is, you've opened my eyes.
It's the whole thing.
Do you think the Mandalorian will have a documentary on HBO about how
surviving?
The- yeah.
It's just like,
surviving, you know, Scientology, you- Mandalorian version.
He's just like, I felt like Aunt Beru.
You see those interviewees where they like cover the faces so you don't know their identity, but it's just clearly Pedro Pascal's voice.
Oh my god, I'm ready for this. Can we start like writing this? We'll pitch it.
Yeah, we can just call it Children of the Watch. The name's right there.
Yeah.
Wow,
I love that.
I feel like they could show his face but cover up his voice because that's what I know.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm going to be like, is that Pedro Pascal?
Stribs, what were your initial thoughts?
I thought that this episode was a lot of fun. Really fast pace, like really fast paced, lots of action, like lovely, lovely warm character moments. Some of the best Baby Yoda action this entire season. Charlie and I will probably fight about cookies later, but... that little kid had it coming to him. But, you know, a lot of really great character moments. And it's nice to see, you know, Pedro Pascal's chin finally in live action without him, his head nearly getting blasted off.
Well,
so
let's save that because we've got
a little too seductive, I know. But
no, there's a debate. There. There's this debate all over the internet. Was that his chin or was it a stunt chin? That's what I want to know. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's like, hey, I'm not here to drink. I'm walking off. Get in the stunt chin. Getting, what is it, Clint Eastwood's nephew or something to drink it.
It's above my pay grade.
Yes.
You know, a lot of my favorite points have already been covered. I loved all the Baby Yoda action in this episode. I thought Carl Weathers knocked it out of the park in terms of his, was this his directorial debut? Does anyone know? Has he directed anything before?
He's directed
it was fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this was really exciting to see him back in this episode, to see the action with Baby Yoda. I'm really excited that the Razor Crest is finally fixed. I'm kind of getting sick of it. I'm just falling apart all of the time. So that's exciting. But yeah, overall, it took me 2 watches just sort of like really appreciate it because I feel like I was getting peppered with a lot of Easter eggs throughout the entire thing. And I just like, I couldn't keep up. I had to go back and get a second viewing in order to kind of go back and catch all of it. There's a lot of like Solo things mentioned in the scene with the droid teacher on Navarro. That was kind of fun. So yeah, a lot of things that I liked in this episode after my second viewing.
I thought the references this episode were like intricate, but not sort of stepping on, like sometimes it's just like, nah. Like they just got a source book out and they're just reading out like, hey, that's like Bantha Poodoo on a Sarlacc day. It's just like, what? It's like, saying words from Star Wars, just talk. But the references in this, I thought were very, like they're there to be missed. Do you know what I mean? Like I feel like the ones in this episode, if you get them, that's your fault. Do you know what I mean? It's not because they're talking about Banthas or whatever. It's like, this is because you're a dork and you know all this stuff. This is your problem. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, you know too much. So there you go.
Feeling seen.
Thanks, Dad.
Oh, thanks for that.
Hey, I'm talking about all of us, all right? I'm on this live stream. Look at my
I'm in good company. What exactly. can I say?
There you go.
Yes. I don't know about good company, but like-minded company. I will give you that much.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That is the thing when me and Corey podcast or stream or whatever, that is Corey's go-to catchphrase. Yep. Wow. Interesting.
It is interesting. Mm.
Corey, wow yeah. me with interesting thoughts about this episode. All right.
Yeah, I really loved it. I was surprised because I had a feeling this wouldn't be the episode where we would see Ahsoka or any of the big reveals. So I thought we would just be on, a mission with Grief Karga and everyone else. I didn't expect too much, but this is a good example of how the plot moves forward in an episode that you could almost consider a side quest. But then, I'm not dissing it.
Finish up your thoughts and then I'll scold you.
Yeah, but it's not, it's what I'm saying. Because there was, obviously you're reunited with characters who you saw in season one and they were a big part of Mando's life. And now we get two major plot points for the rest of the season, which were super exciting to see. And I think Carl Weathers did such a great job directing this too. I was really surprised at how good it was from start to finish. And it's cool that he was able to do this. This is probably up there for season two for me. I genuinely loved it.
I've fallen into the trap that I fell into last season where the last episode's my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Like every time one comes out, I'm like, oh, that was the best one. That was the best one. Except, yeah, maybe not the spider one. That was a bit of a drop off. But it's like, I just thought this one just filled. Like, apart from having a lightsaber, it just had, like, all the Star Wars-iness. So much good humor and stuff. But this thing, Corey, and I'm not saying this is you, but you stepped on it, with the filler episodes and stuff. What do people want to happen in this show? Like, the episode starts, knocks on the door. Hi, I'm Ahsoka Tano. And then it's like, well, the rest of the episode was filler. Like, because they didn't then go find, I don't know, like Boba Fett or something. It's just like, let the episode.
Well, I mean, there's filler and there's side quest. I don't like aside, this mission that Din was on wasn't necessarily a big, like, it didn't have to be a part of his, journey. But so it's not filler at all.
Okay. It didn't have to be part of his journey, but he did have to go back to get his vehicle fixed.
Yeah.
And what he discovered is a big part of the rest of his journey.
Right, 100%.
Maggie, you've got thoughts.
Well, the thing is, with like an 8-episode season, you're not going to get filler episodes. Just because you might not find them engaging doesn't mean it doesn't connect to the larger plot.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
And I feel like this whole like filler thing gets thrown around just as much as like plot holes and stuff. And it's just like, is it though?
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't think it was filler at all. I think it was actually probably out of all the episodes, the most plot heavy.
Mm-hmm. We just don't know it yet.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I was like, cause I was sort of like, oh, they're going to break into an Imperial thing. Bang.
Yeah.
And we're done. Dun, 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 dun. But then at the end, when it hit you with all that, backstory and sort of made some admittedly classic fan t-shirts a lot more relevant again, then, I was all about it. I was all about it. But let's hit the actual plot, as it were. And in the opening little, here's what we've seen so far, I sort of didn't get it at this point until later on in the episode, but I found it delightful that it was Grief Karga had the bounty out on the Mithril himself. in the first episode. I continue to be out just so impressed with the way they seem to include things in the first, because it's all one writer, and it's like, I'm going to call upon this later on. It's so sewn together. It's just delicious. I just trust this show so much. And also, I now like want to like go back and I watch episodes, and I'm like, ooh, is that, like, I trust them so much. I'm like, is this comment going to come back later on? Like, is this going to feed back into it? And it just, I don't know. It just makes it so much more enriching to watch. Maggie, you're making some good gestures.
Yeah. This is, I mean, you're hitting all the points to how I feel about this. So.
Excellent. And I don't know. So occasionally, I don't get to see everything that happens in the live chat. This is going off, and we've got some super chats we'll hit in a second. But I like just this. This is my favorite one I've seen so far. Noah Outlaw, oh. Me being correct is a rarity. So
been hacked by Reddit.
Yeah. That's when is that Rebel sequel coming out? When is that? I don't know.
Corey's going to leave right now.
I will say as well, like with that character of the Mithril, I really enjoy the fact that they can bring back these talented comedic actors. Because I think that when you have Horatio Sanz, who I thought was great in the first episode of the season one, when you brought him back, that sort of comedy he brought to like the anxious, like don't want to get involved, I thought that elevated the drama of the scene later on in the episode when they're like finding out all this big information. So I thought that was a clever way of using those actors.
Yeah, and of course we've had Amy Sedaris come back, and, mm-hmm. and these things tend to go in threes, which leads me to think,
Oh God!
Could it happen? I mean, could it happen
after this episode? Is it? And it could it be? Could it happen?
Could they be cloning an entire league of Toro Calicans?
Oh,
wow. No. Look at Steel's eyes. See what you've done.
Plural mini Calicans.
Imagine if they were dark Calicans as well.
Dark Calicans with like three A's in the middle of his name. Dark Calican. Oh my God.
I'm into it. So when we go into the episode proper, we have got
this moment.
Best scene.
Well, when it started, I was like, no, I'm not feeling this. Like, because I equate him to my child, and I don't have him do any wiring for me around.
You think he's 50 years old and stuff?
But then as it went on, it was so entertaining, the Yoda doing the wiring, that I was like, you've made it good. You've made it good. How did you guys, Claire, how did you go with this? Les, I have to go with Les because he's like doing his big, he's doing a big head shake.
Okay, so we talked about this yesterday, but
Les, stop living in the past, mate. It's today.
It just took me right back to many a Saturday morning when I was like 9 years old. And I'd have to, like, everybody else is playing and riding bikes, and I have to stand next to my dad while he's under the hood of a car or something. And I'm just sitting there like, okay. And then I mentioned that I had to let a car down on a jack. And I was like 9. My dad was like, now let it down easy. And I'm like, okay. And I like twist the things, like, bam, the whole car bounces up and down. And I'm like, that has happened to me. I'm going, there's no way you should have him in that little hole back there doing any of that stuff. But yeah, it was triggering to an extent.
Hey, but did your dad save you from an evil scientist that was trying to give you blood transfusions?
Yes.
Okay. Well,
he would have, though. If that was happening, yeah, he would have torn the place apart.
We just unlocked a backstory here.
There it is. Yeah, there it is.
The way he just casually said yes was yes. I think it might have happened.
And people thought this chat was
Yeah. But it did trigger me. And I just started thinking about like trips to Home Depot and stuff like that. And I'm like, I just want to go ride bikes. I don't want to do any of this. I just want to eat green space macarons. And that's it, man.
Well, that's like when he got to school. That must have been very relieving too. I feel like now you're like in your head, you're talking, but you're having like graphic flashbacks of.
It's okay. I'll get through it.
Okay.
You see, you sweat a little bit more, but it's all right.
All right. Laura, how did you go with Baby Yoda, Yoju, if you will, the electrician?
I thought it was really cute, actually. I really enjoyed it. We're getting a lot of like more vocal noises from Baby Yoda lately. Mm-hmm. And for me, they're sounding a little bit less like a pet and more like an actual baby. Just some of the noises that he's making. So there's been a sort of shift. I feel like every once in a while there's little words that kind of come out too, which is kind of fun. Mm-hmm. But I really enjoyed the scene. I thought it was really cute. I had no problem with Mando somehow. The way that I imagine that the like sort of prequel to this scene went was that he was trying to figure out how to fix whatever is in there. And the baby was like, oh, I'll volunteer, I'll crawl in, somehow signaled that he'd do it. And then he just let him do it because the Mandalorian still does not really understand parenting yet. So it was fun to walk through in my brain. How in the hell did he get in there?
Now, Corey, did it, like seeing what sweet little tricks you can teach a baby, did it make you think about becoming a father yourself?
No,
absolutely not.
Is
that the scoop?
Interesting.
Wow, we're unlocking so many backstories.
I loved it. I thought that was Baby Yoda's best scene, actually, so far. I did not expect that to ever be a thing, to see Baby Yoda working on the Razor Crest. So that was awesome. And when he shocks himself and he just coughs at the end, that was perfection.
It was like a perfect little, like, it's weird because I think about this scene and like the speeder bike scene from the start of season one, like they are funny robot chicken sketches. Ugh. That are in the show, and they do it in a way that it works. It's just mm-hmm. like this Favreau guy. Like,
that's pretty cool.
Like, I don't, where did he come from? Corey, has he done any other work with Disney?
Yeah.
He's what's he done? Friends, right?
Well, if you didn't know, he's done The Lion King, and he's done, he says it all the time, is The Jungle Book. And of course, his inspiration is Kurosawa, which the fights start in their minds. And that's absolutely what Jon Favreau does. Now, I believe Jon Favreau's most important work is still Couples Retreat, honestly. So just remember that. And he was Pre Vizsla in The Clone Wars, too. So this man gets around.
Ah, yeah, true that. What about you, Claire? You're a sucker for a bit of cuteness, like myself.
I was like, how are we going to finish this sentence here, Steele? No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I like messing with you. It's fun. So I am not a technologically savvy person. You should not ever trust me to do anything handy around the home. I have had my car in college broke down every time you looked at it wrong. And did I jump that car myself? No, I risked talking to random strangers being like, please put these on my car. I am so scared of this. So I had a little bit of like a traumatic experience. Like I was laughing, but also I was watching it going, oh my God, he's going to shock himself. I hate everything about this. Make it a little overwhelming. Yeah, I don't vibe with electricity. That is not a career path. I will never be an electrician. So, but that being said, he was the only one small enough to fit in that small area to do the wiring. He is 50 years old. Still, I would not. I wouldn't trust an infant like person, and I would certainly not trust myself. So that was a lot of trust in a lot of trust we put in Baby Yoda there. But it was funny, and it was totally like, what are you talking about, Noah?
Don't argue with the chat, Claire.
Okay. But yeah, and also I like just remember watching my nephews when they were little. When they were little, it's like trying to stick their finger in the outlet and you'd be like, no. And then they'd like the second you look away, they start going. That's just totally what it reminded me of. And it was funny. And brought back some good memories along with the traumatic electricity experiences. So otherwise, I'm doing okay. It was great.
God, you guys, we're really getting into some dark pasts here.
Yep, pretty much.
Revelations tonight.
Laura, do you have flashbacks? Have you ever seen a PowerPoint or anything like that? Are you okay?
I have no childhood trauma to bring up in relation to electricity, so I guess no comment from me.
All right, sorry. Well, do us a favor, save your childhood trauma before it becomes, when it comes appropriate within whatever happens in the episode. If you once choked on a macaroon or something like that, let us know.
What's the point of childhood trauma if you can't make content out of it? Let's be real.
100%, yes.
Exactly. Can I just say that I love this moment because it was payoff from the Passenger episode when he was like, get over here and help. Love that because I was like, it's such a, like a dad move to be like, earn your keep, kid. And it's like,
how dare you
hey, I'm talking from experience with my own father.
Yep. You're not just gonna sit here and eat and sleep. Yeah, let's go.
6 year old me climbing up on the roof to get things. Earning my keep.
Can I also add that like people should be a little less harsh on Din? This is a guy whose parents were, you know, the Clone Wars.
Yeah, they left him in a cupboard, like a space underground cupboard. He was raised by a cult. They saw Rogue One and they went, let's do that as well.
Exactly, yeah. Saw Guerrera didn't show up. Instead, they had the creepy cult version of Death Watch to raise it. You know?
Perfect nourishing environment for a child. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Also, I want to add that Jon Favreau's actually best role is as a cameo appearance in Batman Forever. If you are very keen, you will see John Favreau in Batman Forever as a bodyguard in Wayne Enterprises.
That's right.
I forgot about that.
It was all downhill from there, really.
I know.
I gotta say, in the 90s, I watched the VHS out of Swingers. That was
there you go.
Man, that was oh my God. I once drove to Vegas by myself just saying that one line, Vegas, baby.
The whole way.
Essentially, yes. Yeah.
Thank God you were driving alone still because they would have chucked you out the window.
Oh, well, I'd never driven in America before. And I'm driving on, I went off this exit ramp, like, you know, it's pitch black in the middle of the desert. I'd never driven in America. And I see like a 7-Eleven or something. So I'm like, I'm going to buy every Red Bull-y thing because so I can make it there without dying, which was a big priority. Middle of the night, and I'm driving and I'm like, why is this car on the bridge on the wrong side of the road? What an idiot. And then I'm like, oh, America.
Oh no.
But I survived.
Yes.
Did you though?
Chapter 12, the crash.
See, that's a valid excuse. Like, because, you know, from Australia here, and let's not get into that, but that's a valid reason. I've seen other people going on the side of the road just because they're stupid.
Yes.
It's like he killed a family of three, but he had a valid excuse. So.
And I'm definitely not referencing myself or anything. I'm okay. Purely just saying.
Let's hit this
my
is
favorite
the debate.
Moment.
This is the debate.
Oh my gosh.
My favorite moment.
I paused it here and I'll see if I can get some zoom action on this bad boy. Here we go.
Chen Jaren himself.
Chen Jaren.
Who said that?
Maggie,
you are welcome back anytime with comments like that. That is what we're about here. All right, let's get to the bottom of this. We're at 300% at the moment. Let's go. We're on 400.
Okay.
All right, you guys debate the. I just have to. I'm just going to go on mute for 2 seconds. Wait there.
That's not this. I don't think that's
Corey, you are now the host of the show. I'll be back in 1 second.
All right, great. Yeah,
I have so many thoughts about this.
I don't think that's
Pedro that's not Pedro Pascal.
No,
that's Brendan Wayne.
For sure.
I'm gonna go Brendan Wayne.
Without a doubt.
This episode's ruined.
You know how you can tell? Because Pedro posted a picture on Instagram, and he was definitely scruffy during it, and there's no scruff. Brendan was clean-shaven.
I'm so let down.
Yeah, Disney, I would want my money back. Probably how it would work anyways. A moment like this would be the stunt double, possibly, and then if we do get a full removal, it'll be the money shot. So,
Well, how funny would it be if it's not Pedro Pascal when the full like helmet comes off?
But
it's
still Brandon Wayne.
No, I know, but it'd be funny if it's just like Brandon Wayne and it's still Din Djarin. There's just no explanation for it.
And it's just like he took his helmet off and that's what he looks like. And
that's the problem. That's the problem with constantly wearing your helmet. You never know when someone's going to do the old switcheroo on you. That's the that's what's up.
He takes it off and it's D. Bradley Baker.
Oh my god. Yeah. That's interesting.
Oh goodness.
Steel. We're done. Yeah, I see you're just like sitting.
Since he's still not back, let's talk about
right.
Hey, let's settle down. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. Am I back? Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're back. You're back.
Okay. All right. So whose chin did we decide it was?
Brendan.
Yeah. Interesting.
I could get that confirmed.
I'd love... you're very... Yes, please. now, do you take this whole... Like, I've heard people theorize that him drinking in front of the child is him sort of opening up and sort of weakening his way. Did you guys just talk about that, or...?
No, but I think that.
All right, so, okay, yeah. So, I wasn't sure if this is just his daily, like, I'm sneaking a drink, or he used to go in the other room and have a drink, and now he's like, hey, we can have some sips together. But that's what you're thinking, Maggie? That
yeah, because the child's response, he seems so shocked. Like, there's a little gasp sound from the child, and he's, like, looking up, like, which is not dissimilar from the way the child reacted when, I think it was Sasha Banks' character takes the helmet off, and that same kind of, like, they come off.
There's a face under there. Weird.
Interesting.
Love a good face. Now...
Who doesn't?
Then we arrive on Navarro. And we've got these, what are these? Are these Aqualish? Is that how you say that one?
Yeah, very episode freestyle.
Oh, yeah.
That's what, cool. Sorry, Charlie?
Very episode freestyle Aqualish. Because there's
a difference.
Yeah.
And I sort of didn't click at the start, but this is actually in the Mandalorian's old covert.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which I think is, you know, because obviously they had to establish that that Cara Dune was, like, out fighting crime. But the fact that they set it here is just, like, I love the way they show this stuff. They show, they don't tell. But, like, if you're watching, it's like, well, the armor is gone. The Mandalorians have not come back to where they were. But it hasn't been mentioned. But if you sort of, like, it's there to be discovered, which, oh, I just find delicious. Now, in this scene, we get the reintroduction of Cara Dune. And I loved Cara Dune, the character. And now I don't want to see Cara Dune.
Fast forward.
This is the deal. It's like when you're talking about like people's health and like the worldwide health of the world, people are going to get a little bit antsy. When you're talking about like mocking like groups that are Star Wars fans, people are going to get very antsy. People are going to get angry. They're going to get pissed. They don't want to be a part of that. They don't want to support it. The thing about Star Wars, although the last few years have shocked me that this is not true, but I always thought that people generally that like Star Wars were good people because the message of Star Wars was, if you are powerful, be a good person about it. Like, that is the whole – like is there a more basic message that's it's like, if you're powerful, be good? Like that's what I got out of it when I was a little kid. That's what I got about it now. Maggie, tell us about your fundraiser, to which I think we've already had
a number of donations.
Yeah, a few sweet bits of action, but we'll pop it up on the screen and let us know what's up.
Yes. So for any listeners who are listening to this as a podcast later and are not aware of this fundraiser, it started back in September when this first kind of shifted from somebody being just a little bit weird on their Twitter to being actually targeting fans of the show. I was like, okay, I can either be really angry and make a bunch of snarky tweets and get blocked by a certain actress, or I can put my advocacy into action. So with Candace from Geeky Waffle and Eric from Utini, we launched this fundraiser to help the Trans Law Center. Our initial goal was $1,000, which we hit in 4 hours back in September. And then we decided once we hit 10,000, once we hit 12,000, that we would come back and continue this once the Mandalorian started back up again. We thought we would be able to reach 15,000 by the end of the season, but we have already reached 15,000. And we are going to just keep raising funds. I mean, there's been a couple people have said we might be able to reach 20,000. So we'll see what happens in the next 3 weeks. But it has been such an overwhelmingly incredible experience to see not only Star Wars fans, but Star Wars creators, Lucasfilm employees reaching out and showing their support for the trans community. There are so many incredible transgender Star Wars fans that are wonderful people, and we need to show them support. Because when you have somebody who's like a main character in a show spreading this kind of hate, it is not cool, to put it lightly.
Yeah. And of course, we're talking about Gina Carano. Her yes. Twitter feed is, you know, and the fact, and you know, she's supporting like fans that are like abusive in their critique of Star Wars in a very right-wing way. It's mocking
Pedro Pascal, like saying horrible things, and she's wishing them happy birthday, and it's just very strange.
And you know, if I think someone joked this is PC gone mad in the chat, I think they're just mucking about, but it isn't like political. It's like if something hurts like a group, like a minority in the world or in the fandom, and they're like, this hurts us, and you keep doing it or you mock it, like you're a prick, you're a bully. Like you can, like it's just so uncalled for. And, you know, there's someone's just typed yawn. Well, this is what we're about, dude. Like I want all Star Wars fans to feel as welcome as possible, because I feel good when I'm welcomed into Star Wars. So why wouldn't I want that for everyone else? So if that's not for you, is that tiring? Like if anyone's yawning, it's Charlie. It's like 5 a.m. All right. So any super chats that we get, normally I don't really, I just let super chats, if people want to do it, that's fine. I try to include as many comments as possible, because I don't want, if you're like poor, I still think you should be, or you know, you haven't got that sort of cash to spend. I normally just try to include all the comments, because that's what's up. But today I am going to encourage them, because we are going to donate them all. And I think I've missed a couple. We've got Noah Outlaw here. He's put up two. He's already put up $50. I saw Hawes before going at it. And it's as far as I'm concerned, this is what Star Wars is about. We're using our little platform to help people that need it. And this is what, like, I'm sorry, this is what Luke Skywalker taught me to do as a child. I try to do it. I'm not like a perfect person, but I am trying. Like, I always try to be like Luke Skywalker. So, and it was such a bummer, because I don't want to, like, I want to like Star Wars based on the content. Do you know what I mean? But now I have to base it on the content of like an actor in the show, and it sucks. And I don't know what else. If anyone else wants to say anything about this now, jump in. Otherwise,
Can I say she's also wrong. Like, a majority of the stuff is like science, not really something you can debate with. Like, please wear a mask and treat people with kindness and people with respect.
Gather inside with large groups of people.
Exactly.
Not a great idea.
I'll give you guys a general chat. I've just got to dip back. So.
My goodness. Doesn't want to talk to us.
Claire, you're now the host, okay?
Oh, God. What have you done?
Oh, no. We actually left. Okay.
Okay.
You are in control, Mr. Dribbling.
Oh, that is not where I want to be. I just want to be snarky and comments in the corner. No, but that's the one thing that astounds me with this whole situation is like a person's existence, it should not be a subject of debate and literally kindness saves lives when it comes to the trans community. There's so much violence. There's an obscenely disproportionate amount of violence and suicide in the trans community. And it's as simple as being nice and respecting what they wish. It takes so little effort, so little effort. Just be kind. You can literally save someone's life. Mm-hmm. That is simple. So why would you bully someone like that down?
Yeah. Especially when the system's already rigged against you.
Exactly.
It's ridiculous. It's like, come on. I mean, me and Claire know. Sorry, ISP has got a very massive like trans audience, mm-hmm. and we have people in our Discord who like are so upset about some of this stuff. It's like, look, these are just people. Like, treat them with respect. I don't know. It's not that hard to be
it's
nice.
It's not hard to be kind. It takes so little effort. Just do it.
And, you know, sometimes I'm like, oh, I try to like give people the grace to learn because I know that some people are raised a very specific way and that it takes exposure. But the fact that like Pedro Pascal had like clearly reached out to her to try to explain the pronouns. I mean, Pedro Pascal's younger sibling is non-binary, so like it's personal for him. Yeah. And it still doesn't seem to penetrate her mind at all, which is just frustrating.
Yeah, I think like... To your point, what you just said, that's what kind of blows my mind the most about all of it is the fact that Pedro did have a conversation with her. So I just, after that, to keep going, that's where my respect just kind of went out the window. Because, you know, it's, bullying people and doing it in a way where you know you have hundreds of thousands of followers, you know, it's not, a lot of people want to say that it's difference of opinion, but that's not it at all. There's differences of opinion and then there's bullying people and spreading hate. And that's what she's doing. And mm-hmm. I agree that it's definitely affected the way I view the character. And I don't like, I'd be totally fine if we never saw the character again.
Oh, without a doubt.
That's the component of it that I find really frustrating is that, you know, people are arguing that like, oh, she has a right to her opinion, but this isn't so much like
human rights isn't an opinion.
Left wing versus right wing. This is humans that don't have the same rights as you that just want to have the same rights as you. Like it's that basic of a thing. So why does it have to be? Why do you have to make it into a political issue when it's just an issue of human rights? It's so basic.
Yeah, you don't have the right to be a bigot.
Mm-mm.
Like that's
at all.
It's not a difference of opinion. It's like you're a bigot. It's not cool. It's not.
Some people don't have the luxury of being able to separate a character from the actor when said person hates their existence.
Well,
it's
hard. One of my close friends, his fiance is trans, and I remember they directly wrote something under one of Gina's tweets, and it was one of the most respectful things, just saying like this is why this is hurting people. And then they got blocked and then tons of people went after them. And I just remember thinking, you know, I tried my best to like intersect on Twitter as much as I could to try to educate Gina as well. And I put, this is really disrespectful to not just this person, but so many other people. And then I got blocked and then all these other people got blocked. And it's just so disheartening to see that it's not even like even the people who aren't going after her in a hurtful way that are trans, right? They just want to explain for them to get blocked and for them to be shamed and for people to come after them as a result is a really big deal. And I know for them, it's really affected the way they watch Mandalorian. And this has you know, big implications, and especially because the character of Cara Dune was supposed to be such a hopeful character for so many people.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah, it's just, yeah, it's a bummer.
I do want to say something to Michael's comment and the comments. I think that with like the whole them not making a statement, there is an issue with contracts and like a legality to it. And I feel like we should at least look at the fact that so many of the Lucasfilm employees and the, you know, Star Wars writers and all these people have shared the fundraiser. They've also put their money where they might not be able to put their mouths. And while that isn't like what we should, you know, hold them to, they are at least trying to make some small minor statements in their own ways, because it is unfortunately an issue with Disney.
The studio is gonna make, they're gonna talk about it at some point. Something will be done,
and we know that they just hired a director of diversity at Lucasfilm, so there is small things,
something's coming.
Not enough and a little too late, but at least it's happening.
But you can't hold, you know, like, it's awesome that, you know, Lucasfilm employees are like, you know, being a part of it and donating and sharing it and stuff, but you can't hold them responsible for, like, it's, this is like, this is Bob Iger. This is his decision to, like, this is hitting his desk. What do we do about it? Where do we go? So whatever, like, happens to this, it's like, that's where it goes. This is like a star of their biggest streaming show. Like, this is going right to the top. And, you know, Lucasfilm and Disney, they're not this hive mind of we all think this, we all think that. It's like all these different people that, you know, could be as shocked as us or as oblivious to as someone else. It's not, you know, and this is like a giant corporation that does great stuff and does some stuff that's, you know, like, not that cool as well. So you look at like Alan Dean Foster, you know, him sort of trying to get payment right now. And I also just wanted to get this out of the way. I knew I had something else in my little checklist. Is, I think most Star Wars fans that I interact with, because I've made sure that the people that, listen, if your view on basic human rights and acceptance is the opposite of mine, I don't care what you think about a space movie. It just doesn't interest me, because it's just like, I just don't care. Like, it's just, space movie's not that important to me. And thus I don't get to see that side of it, you know, very much, unless I go looking for it. So most people I interact with are, we're on a similar page with this. And what I would just like to put out there is, don't go after the people that are processing this slightly different from you. You know, there'll be people that, I'm not watching this episode. There'll be people that just like, I'm just not going to pay much notice to the Gina Carano parts. There are people that just like, I can put this, I don't like it, but I can put aside this and I'm going to enjoy the character. It's I don't really think it's like serves much purpose to the fandom or for the progress of the human race. If, you know, it's just like, oh, you know, they'd, or don't get, and I see people, and if this whole thing doesn't bother you at all, don't get angry at someone because, like, they're, like, not going to watch that part of the show or they don't want to talk about that. It's that, that's what always interests me, is like the anger about, like, don't spoil this with reality for me. Well, dude, reality is up for spoiling everything in 2020. Yeah. It is what it's good at. So I
be fortunate, honestly, be fortunate that it does not affect you to that way. Like, that is a privilege in itself. If it doesn't affect your life that day from the day to day basis, then that's great. don't step on the people that are harmed by it.
People are saying like, oh, you're just woke. These people are just woke. Well, if it doesn't bother you,
I'm half asleep, guys.
I'm like, I'm actually asleep.
What's the space program?
I was like, Charlie.
If anyone's going to judge anyone for being woke, it's not Charlie.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. So, I found it very interesting with the fight scene, just getting back to that. But like where it was set, I found that an interesting little development. The fight scene, I could think was like, I would have loved this scene last year.
Yep.
But yeah.
I know. But, all I took away from it was, that's an actual dank ferret.
Yes. Yes. And his name is Ferrick. It's my headcanon. Ferrick the dank ferret.
I love it.
Oh, my stars. Then we are met by the director, the champ, Carl Weathers, Greef Karga, and he drops one of the most ominous Empire Strikes Back quotes of all time. I'll get my people on it, or I'll get my best people on it, or whatever it was. And it was just like, dude, that is not going to go well. That is not going to go well. But I will add before we start talking about Carl's or Greef's reintroduction, Greef Karga.
Happy job, Grandpa.
What? This is nothing better. I have to, I'll get some zooming going in on this one.
Look at how happy he looks.
This dude. Such he's beauty. Just, he is just such just an entertainer. The way he can just go into a role and add little things like, you know, from Apollo Creed to like on Arrested Development to then back. It's stunning. Shout out to Young Gravy's intern. man, imagine working under Gravy. Gravy taught me so much.
It's all gravy, baby.
He's chucked in $5 and he's saying, loving you all for real. So I think I don't know how to add up all the super chats, which is probably not a good sign of my success on YouTube, but I estimate we're already over $100. So,
yeah, definitely.
Oh, so yeah.
That is pretty cool. Les, what did you think about the reintroduction of Greef Karga?
I thought it was awesome. I think we do get Baby Yoda's first word in his interaction with them. So I think he has a major point and a major point of history in Star Wars canon now. So seeing Greef again and knowing that things were going to go crazy from there was really cool.
He's just the bear. Like, it's just, look at him. Oh, actually, I haven't got him on the screen. I'm looking at my screen.
You had him there. We only needed that. That's how good he is.
Oh, cutie.
He is just the best. He should direct a one of those Creed sequels.
Ooh.
Man, those movies are masterpieces, first of all. People, I understand a lot of people may not like violent movies, but Creed 1 and 2, the franchise is very, very good.
100%.
Very solid. Very, very solid. Part 2, I think, was better than Part 1. And if we could get some type of, I don't know, if we could get Carl Weathers in Creed in some way, some type of vision, some type of like dream sequence or something, yeah, that would tie it all together. That would make the Rocky universe complete, like totally complete.
Awesome.
The Rockiverse.
There it is.
Yeah, excellent. Hey, I've been in Sylvester Stallone's driveway, just so you know. Just want to get that out of the way. Jared, the Dark Jedi, our buddy in the chat, says, this whole bit, here is my favorite part of the episode, where he says, he taking care of you. Yeah, he said, yeah, it's so precious. But I love that bit because it calls back to my favorite line of all The Mandalorian when Greef says to Din, he might just take care of you. Like that.
Oh, hey, yeah. Hey,
guys, I don't want to pull out my as a father card, but as a father, I was pretty moved. Thanks for your donation, Jared. You're an absolute champ. Now, this, you guys, I've got to get this up while I go crazy. Claire's just like, what is he doing? This is what excites me about this show, is they drop these references and callbacks and then do not mention them.
Look at him!
they are confident. In the village of Navarro, there is a statue in the background. If you are watching, you can see it as they walk into the school of IG-11, savior of Navarro.
Amazing.
You know, like Laura, you're a schmodowner. You're into the you know, the facts and figures. How do you like little bombshells like this getting dropped nice and subtly?
Oh, I like it a lot. And that's, again, another reason why you got to go back and revisit these episodes. You can't just watch them once. You got to watch them twice, three times. If you're studying for some sort of trivia thing, maybe 15 times, I don't know, give or take. But I really did enjoy the little details like that. And the great thing about what they're doing in The Mandalorian is that they really are balancing it with throwbacks to previous episodes within this season, as well as like throwbacks like bringing in Bo-Katan. As someone from sort of the expanded Star Wars content that's out there. So I think that I do really appreciate the sort of balance that they're keeping with that. They're not going too deep. And when they are, they're balancing it out with things that are calling back to that, you know, events that have happened in the actual show.
It is just immaculate. Corey.
Yeah. Yeah. I love this. I think, like you said, what's cool about this show is, you know, they know that the hardcore fans are also watching to like spot all those little Easter eggs. And I think that's the perfect way to honor IG-11. I genuinely never thought we'd ever see anything IG-11 again. So that's pretty cool to see that. And I'm sure Mando was very happy to see that as well.
And now, can I just interject one thing real quick?
You can do two things.
Ooh. Wow. Oh my gosh. Now I have a whole other thing. I don't know what I'm going to do. No, I paused this marketplace scene several times and I scoured every single angle, every single corner of the marketplace scene. And you know that life on Navarro has improved because there is not a single monkey lizard being roasted on a spit anywhere in that market, which means, you know, that's how you know the time has passed. Progress has been made.
Yeah. I was, can I add to that point, Claire? Like, we were saying about how
it makes
Navarro
happy.
Changed so much in the way that they tell the story just through the visual look of the place.
And the lack of dying monkey lizards.
Navarro's improved since the Empire left, blah, 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 blah. You don't need to say that for the dialogue. It's just there visually. Everything's more colorful. Everything's more vibrant. I mean, Grief looks happy. It looks like throughout the Imperial rule, he had to be this like sort of aggressive man who had to do this bounty hunting. And now here he is in his own profession, his own business. He seems happy. Everyone's laughing. Yeah, everyone's happy. I love it.
But the rent prices have skyrocketed.
surely. Yeah, property values have raised and you all got to pay or you got to go.
Is Greek Targra gentrifying Navarro? Is that what
you do when you bring in farmers
There's
market?
A subway here now.
And a Montessori private market. School too. Right?
Seriously,
isn't it a Montessori private school?
Well, just look at his
helicopter robes. Parents are like just checking in, like.
Yeah. Now, Claire, this might really ruin your night.
Oh,
what have you done?
There's no lizards on the street, but what if they're cooking lizards at some hipster place up the street? You know, like everyone's got rolled up chinos and stuff.
Still don't.
I don't mean to sound extreme here, Steele, but I will join the First Order and I will Starkiller base that place to the ground. Okay.
Wow.
We need to keep it. They are sentient creatures. Stop this children? Abuse. The women and the children, too.
Hey, Corey, do you want rights for monkey lizards?
Please.
Well, he's equally as passionate as Claire. So,
I know I like you, Corey.
Good to see. Good to see. Good to see. excellent times. Now, then we enter the school.
Schoolhouse Rock starts playing in the background.
Yes!
Oh, my God. Maggie, how did you deal with the cuteness, like the E.T. vibes of it all? It was just...
Oh, my God.
This was... bliss. I couldn't believe it was happening in a Star Wars like TV show, but there it was.
I don't understand how the child told him, like that kid told the child no. Like
Oh no. The can of worms is about to open. Charlie's about to explode.
Oh no. Do you know why he shouldn't have given it to him?
He asked. He
No, no, it's because he didn't say
please.
So he's got to learn to be polite.
He can I have some more, sir?
He doesn't speak English yet. That was a please. Look, you have a whole sleeve of cookies. Give him one.
He didn't choke him. Look, he could have force choked him.
It's a good point.
That is true.
I thought that's what he was going to do for the cookies. Was just wipe out the classroom.
Oh my god!
Just sit there with everybody like just cowering in fear while that kid is like choked to death. He's eating and just looking at everybody like, what? I just wanted the cookies. And I'm like,
he wouldn't give me
this
cookies.
It could have went south very fast. It really
well,
could have.
This is a great surprise. We have got Noah. He's about to call in Lord. He says he's gonna show us how to teach Baby Yoda manners. All right, let's get him up. Okay. That's Maggie,
yes, please.
That Baby Yoda is still missing from our apartment.
It's okay.
Get out. Took off.
That's a vibe check.
All right, I don't need the video now. I don't need the video.
I will say it would have been quite a twist if Baby Yoda just started force choking everyone in there, and then the show gets really dark, and Mando comes in, and the protocol droid.
Yeah, it's like, just the beginning.
Look what happened! It's all these kids, Anakin style, and then like,
No, they go back to pick him up at the end of the school day, and there's just all these kids running and screaming the other way.
Yeah,
like, oh, what's going on here? It's
one of my favorite moments from the Kessel Run transmission's reaction. Jerry. Was it cut straight to the scene of the school, and Corey, without a second's notice, just goes, Anakin would just wipe those kids out.
That's right. Yeah.
Not my Star Wars. Not my Star Wars.
Yeah, sorry. I'm just been a fax, like, if... Anyways.
Look, I'll defend that kid, though, because, like, I don't like bullies. So I know you guys want to...
He is the bully!
Totally a bully.
Politely asks for one cookie!
Not his food, though. Should have bought his own food.
It's literally an infant child.
That's a Din problem. Din should have packed lunch
exactly,
for him.
Exactly, it's Din's fault. Like, if someone...
I mean, there were three adults in charge of him when they dropped him off, in all honesty. One of them could have been, like... He's going to be hungry later. And yeah.
He's always hungry.
Always hungry, yeah.
The kid should just be happy he didn't try to eat him.
That's true. He still hasn't gotten a taste for flesh. Yeah,
defending.
Terran flesh. Like.
A little gremlin action.
People are too harsh in this little kid.
I think I need to see more video to teeth action to figure out.
Everyone's too harsh with the child.
Once he starts teething, it's all over for you jerks.
Do you see that mouth of teeth he has, though?
It's frightening.
Good.
A 50-year-old, right?
I don't know. Well, we just hope that he can get kept in line. Otherwise...
Okay. Oh, my Lord.
But this is the sad thing about it. Like, see when Noah's thinking about it, this is him.
Let's do this.
So that's he's a weird one. He's a weird one. So anyway, going on with the story, they drop off the kid at school, and then they land speeder out through the desert. Which I love this show so much that like normally overly referencey things get a bit much for me, but they just ease. Just seeing a land speeder go over the desert, I'm just like, oh yeah, that's the stuff. But I am loving Greef Karga and the Mithril's relationship. This shot is Greef telling him to sit his gills down or park your gills there, whatever, referring to his gills.
Beautiful.
Just stunning, stunning stuff. Corey, you're a man of action. What did you think about the assault, the non-siege of the siege?
It was actually really cool. I always love seeing Mando taking out stormtroopers, but I just loved the amount of times Mithril was trying to get out of the situation, and Grief Karga just kept on, you know, reinforcing the fact that that was not an option. Like, this poor guy is like, he knows they're about to enter into this really awful situation. He's like, all right, I'm gonna wait by, you know, the Land Speeder and then the Grief Karga. They would not let him. And I actually felt bad for him half the time, which is strange.
Corey, would you like to address David Lozano, his comment in the chat?
Yeah, he indeed did do that. Yeah, the minute that Din Djarin walked in, he just let it all out, which I thought was awesome. Good connective tissue there, showing the fear. I also loved how he said that he couldn't see out of his left eye still. That's a cool little reference to the carbonite freezing, which was cool.
Yeah, that's a cool reference to the pain he's endured, Corey. I'm like, the Mithril kind of annoyed me in the first episode because he was so, like, his plan was so bad. It was just like, dude, come on. You're trying to get away from the lead character in the opening scene. It's not going to happen. Do you know what I mean? Read the screenplay. But in this, he's like an old friend. The face turn he's done. I love him. I'm Team Mithril. How about you, Laura?
I am down to have a Saturday Night Live character actors in my Star Wars, no questions asked. I am here for it no matter what. So I was very excited to see Horatio Sands back.
Excellent. Excellent. Charlie, what did you think about the whole assault on the station? The running, I love, this is like something that's like kind of a limitation that I now love, and that's running down the same corridor from a different angle. Can't get enough of it. Just keep. I just want to, like, 20 minutes of just down the same corridor, back, front.
Well, I'm British, so we grew up with Doctor Who, which is literally 45 minutes of running down corridors.
It is.
You know, so this is like hitting me where it hit. Yeah. It gave me certain original trilogy vibes, obviously. The opening scene where they're going, like, trying to hack through the door, I immediately thought of Return of the Jedi, like, trying to get into the little base. But inside this Imperial base, it felt so A New Hope to me. You got the whole Ben Kenobi channel, like, chasm, which I just love. The little nods towards there not being any guardrails was nice.
Oh, I thought that was, like, one of the funniest sort of out-of-galaxy jokes brought into the galaxy ever. Yeah. And look at that. I've actually got the image.
So many OSHA violations.
I love the Imperial, like, base designs and seeing them just run through. We had so many, like, those references that we can take for granted. Like, there they are, blast them. Like, it just hits you. I just love it so much.
I was going to say, I thought there were a couple of, like, either direct lines or, like, direct sound bites taken right from A New Hope in this episode. It was really fun to hear those. I enjoyed them incorporating that.
Hearing, like, I don't know if it was a sound bite or it's just the same line, but hearing the blast 'em again, I, like, got transported back into my, like, mum and dad's lounge room. It was just like, ah! Like, it just,
so good. Yeah,
it was so dope. I do have to say, I did freak out when they were talking about how the Mithril was complaining about how it was going to be a waste to blow up, like, all the vehicles and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was like, shut up, Mithril. Like, do you know what I mean? Just do one for the team. And then I saw a carport full of speeder bikes and I'm like, that is a waste. That you cannot blow up all these sweet, sweet speeder bikes.
You're like me. We love Return of the Jedi so much. And with some of the cartoons, sometimes they can use the episode 3 sound effects, but they're just milking those episode 6 sound effects with their speeder bikes. Every time I see a scout trooper and the little blaster later on,
the best blaster in Star Wars, by the way. But go for it.
Did you guys notice one of the scout troopers, like, the minute that they went off the mound, there was one that didn't even get to make the chase. He just died.
There's two of them. They crashed into each other.
That's sad, but funny.
Corey, wipe that smirk out of your face. I was very upset. I was like, oh, yeah, 4-speed. Oh, 2-speed bikes. Yeah, this is going to be good.
I just, like, when I think about scout troopers now, I think about the ones that abuse Baby Yoda, so I'm just okay with them kind of biting it.
Mm. Oh, no, they're
off
still
with
alive.
All their heads.
No, in my head, they're Tech and Bink in canon, those two.
That would be actually awesome.
What about you, Wes? What references in, you know, you got TIE fighters, you got speeder bikes, you got all this stuff. What hits you? What hits your Star Wars fandom to where you're like, oh yeah.
That right when they take off and they go over to continue the pursuit in the speeder bikes, you get that overhead shot of them just coming out and then just kicking on the burner just to catch up. I'm like, yeah, that's right there. That was perfect. It was cool. Just and to get that car chase element in this thing, and they're like maneuvering this like gigantic. I'm going, that's like the Falcon, like trying to maneuver this gigantic thing through different, you know, through tight spots, and you know, getting in and out of things, and just in pursuits. That's one thing that Star Wars does really well is throughout all of it, you know, that there's a big time chase of spacecraft or something like that, and it just went straight for it.
Very dope. Then there's this one thing, and that has sent shockwaves through the fandom, and that is Guy on the side of stage.
So good.
I love him.
I'll zoom it in for everyone watching, but dun 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 dun. There he is.
Give Carl Weathers a little bit of wiggle room, everybody. Just a little.
I just have to say, this is like, you are not in the film, because I work in the film industry, and this is like, you are not like officially a real television show or a movie until you have a bogey like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like,
it's what makes it awesome.
This is Star Wars.
The equivalent of the Dasani water bottle?
The Starbucks coffee cup, yeah.
There you go. There it is. Yeah, is that?
We made it, guys.
I can't wait to see what the players do with this.
This is in universe. This is a ghost.
I can't wait either, Laura.
This is a ghost.
You know what probably happened? Star Wars?
Yeah.
Somebody probably went to Crafty. They came back and heard rolling, and they're like, just tuck in. No one will see you. And right now, his phone is still blowing up.
So he's got a roast beef sandwich in one hand then, right?
That we can't see? Or like a cupcake or something.
Have you seen that action figure image that someone's made?
Yes.
That is pure genius.
I love what Charlie just said about that being a ghost. Like, that's just like, that's the best little Star Wars reference ever. There's just a ghost now in Star Wars. Even the crew doesn't know what that is on set.
You can read about that from a certain point of view in 40 years time.
I went to craft services and then I was in the shot. I'll never.
That's going to be a great panel.
Never live this day
for it. Can't wait for it.
The best easy cosplay, honestly.
I would like them to keep the continuity, and when they ran back through that corridor, to have him still like standing there going the other way. That would be super like good. But is he going to come out? Will we discover who old T-shirt he is?
I hope so.
You know,
gotta wait till season three of The Mandalorian to find out.
Okay.
Yeah, can they like include him in one episode per season now, so we always have to like look out for when he'll appear?
Yes.
So where's Waldo of the Mandalorian?
Yes.
Next time he appears,
short boom guy.
They need a boom guy with pink shorts. Just hang out in the background. That'd be brilliant.
That's a great man. Now we've got to a few crew have to bail just to the lateness, but I just want to hit Laura up for this one because you're deep into the Star Wars lore with all your trivia and studying. And then we have got, which I thought, you know, I thought we were just going on this mission. And then all of a sudden we're getting these Snoke in a tank callbacks with this bizarre creature. What do you know, Laura? What have you picked up on this one?
You know, that was my first thought, too, and it was after I watched the episode, I learned it was also Reddit's first thought, but I think that the biggest clue there was the music cue. We had this music cue that sounded very much like a sort of Snoke theme, I think, that we heard in The Last Jedi, so that's, I think, the running theory. I don't have anything else on it, to be honest. I think that's probably the direction that we're headed in, but yeah, it's a much... smoother version of the Snoke that we know and love, I suppose. But yeah, that's my guess too.
This was the scene that like made me lose my mind.
There's a big hint that we kind of discovered last night of what that is that I haven't seen anyone else talk about.
Well, don't be shy.
Oh, so yeah, sorry. Yeah. So
he's like, hello.
This was brought up on our round table last night is in Legends, the Dark Troopers, which we saw at the end of this episode, are cyborgs. They have force sensitive people and like clones inside of that armor. And it would make sense that Moff Gideon is building an army of force sensitive people to put in those suits. So I think that's what's going on here. I think he's creating an army of force sensitive dark troopers. And we're going to see that next week.
Yeah, that's what I talked about last night on the Star Wars Friends podcast too. Yeah.
Yeah, I think
my expanded universe brain was just like, oh my gosh, I'm like, anytime we can pull expanded universe into canon and then also connect it to new canon, you got my, you've got me.
100%. I love it.
All right, so we best say goodbye to our, I can't believe Charlie's not one of these. Charlie, do you want to bail out at this time? Or are you happy?
Look, I'm in it for the long haul.
Yeah.
I'm so impressed.
That's good man. Sweet. I'm not. I have to sleep.
Laura, thanks so much for joining us and get some sleep. But what I would like is a sweet plug. As much as I hate them, a sweet plug. You don't see me talking about my merch store or my very content-filled Patreon. You just don't get me. Yeah, I just don't talk about it. I don't talk about it enough. I should say that. But anyway, give us a sweet plug, and I'll also need your score out of 10 for the episode.
Okay. I'm going to do the score first. Let's go 7 out of 10.
Excellent.
Yeah. But yeah, until then, you can find me on Twitter. I am at @shutup_Laura. The show that I host with my friend Alice is it's called Force Toast to Star Wars Happy Hour, where we drink wine and talk about Star Wars. And then I host a show on John Rocha's YouTube channel called The Jedi Way, where we just talk about sort of general Star Wars stuff, sometimes stuff that's in the news and sometimes not. So it's a new show and it's a lot of fun. So please check all of that out.
Excellent. I have to say about your show, because I met you at Celebration, and I was like, I'll go listen to the podcast. And I was in my back of my head, I was just like, why have they named it after toast? And then I start listening to it, and I'm like, oh, alcohol. Yes, I remember alcohol. I don't know why I was thinking about breakfast items, but
I thought it was in reference to toast this whole time.
I did too.
No, it's a common misconception, but yeah, it's as in raising a toast is the idea that we were going for. Also, pick a name for your show that's just dumb enough that no one will ever steal it. It works out really well.
Hey, look at the name up there. It's I nailed it. No one's going for it at all. Exactly. But I am disturbed that I jumped to the wrong conclusion as Corey. That's
dangerous.
Do you know what that is? That's wow. Interesting.
Interesting.
That is interesting. Thank you very much, Laura. And Maggie, you've got to bail to bed as well. Give us a quote. Give us a quote. Can I have a quote? Just a Star Wars quote. May the Force be with you. That's a good one. Give us your score out of 10 and also your sweet, sweet plugs. And we'll also I'll put the fundraiser graphic back up in 2 seconds as well.
Excellent. I'm going to give it an 8. If it was directed by anyone else, I probably would have given it a 7. So it's one whole point just for Carl Weathers.
Excellent. The Carl Weathers bump. Yeah. Love it.
Yeah.
Let the good people of the internet know where they can track you down.
I am all over the place. So you can find me on Twitter at Maggie of the Town. I'm also one of the co-hosts over on the Star Wars Friends podcast. And I also have my own YouTube channel, which is dedicated to Star Wars, which is called Let's Talk About Star Wars. There are two on YouTube, unfortunately, but I'm the one with the URL. So you can find me at youtube.com/C/ Let's Talk About Star Wars.
Excellent. And much like Catherine Neen has done, all super chats are going towards the Trans Rights Legal Center. She says, infiltrating Imperial base, running down corridors, blasting stormtroopers, exciting chases is so my childhood backyard adventures come to life. It's the best. And that's a... a very good thing about Star Wars. Oh, Roy Beasley's got a complaint about the episode. More Maggie next time, please. Well, listen, Roy. Like, if Maggie's got a post office box, just send her some Red Bulls. Send her some, I don't know, whatever you need, and we'll do our best. But you are welcome back anytime, Maggie.
I'd love to. Thank you so much for having me.
Sam Stubel says, chuck in $10 and says trans lives matter. Do you want to run us through the fundraiser one more time? Because people, if they are listening to this on delay, there is a link in all the podcasts, YouTube, whatever. There will be a link directly that you can donate yourself, and any amount is welcome at the moment. You have raised $15,676. I'm pretty sure, I'm confident that that's over $15,800 now with what we are scraping out of the super chat.
Actually just updated and we're at $15,908. Somebody just donated $200 30 minutes ago.
Excellent.
So, hell yeah. Thank you. If Sean is in the chat right now, thank you so much. This has just been such an overwhelmingly incredible experience. Trans rights are human rights. This is the way. There's nothing else to be said about it, because it is a fact.
Well, thank you for starting this.
Yeah, I mean, I continuously say that, like, I've just been overwhelmed by the fact that I've been able to be a conduit for this. Like, this is the Star Wars fans and the community that has done this. Like, I've been like very like, it's not about me. Like, I'm just so happy that I've been able to like have an idea that has brought the fandom together in such a wide scale way. And I love Sam's comment on his donation, because that was one of the reasons that I chose the Trans Law Center. They have an incredible outreach program for Black and Indigenous people of color. That is one of their primary focuses, because unfortunately, people of color are more likely to die from hate crimes in the trans community.
Yep.
In fact, there have been 29 people who have been murdered or died under suspicious cases this year, which is up from last year. So it is a real issue. So,
and you know, for people that aren't across all this, you don't have to, you know, be, you know, I'm certainly not like 100% on the terminology and all that,
yes.
But like my belief is that everyone should feel welcomed.
Yeah.
Based on, you know, their character rather than their, you know, anything else about it. It's like the person that matters. And
exactly.
You know, I'm stumbling on trying to explain it, but like I feel like if your heart's in the right place, come with us, and you know, with great fans like Maggie, we'll make it a bigger space. So that is some warm thoughts as you drift off to bed.
We've hit 16,000 with the donations from this tonight. We have crested over 16,000. So it's just incredible.
Excellent. Awesome. As you know, you don't have to get a centimeter thick image of Cobb Vanth to keep you warm anymore. You can have the warm glow of doing a great thing.
Yes.
And as I said, I'm not here to judge. What anyone wants to do is what they want to do. So you cob it up.
You asked for a quote, and I will say, we are the spark.
This is the way. This is the way.
Good night, y'all.
Night, Maggie. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Night, Maggie.
All righty. Let's get to the next image, if I can. Dun, 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 dun. Why do I have to make noises as I click every one of these things? Brutal.
I will say, though, that the whole cloning thing, that theme music that was played in episode 3 and episode 7, oh, give me the chills.
Oh, yeah. I love the creepy factor of it. You know, like before Mandalorian started, I wanted to feel creepy when Moff Gideon was on. So, like, the creepy vibe when Moff Gideon was around. And I feel like
new clip still.
I knew something like that was about to happen. So I genuinely got freaked out when I saw that.
And then you've got this little shot with was it Dr. Pershing? Is that his name?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Like, I love this shot because I'm such a fan of Mithril now, and I like his face turn. I like that he's now like he's on our team. He started out as like a, you know, a bit of a dastardly, foolhardy like villain, and I feel like this is when it became real for the Mithril. Look at him. He's captivated by what this doctor's saying. So I feel like this is a very important time in the Mithril's journey through the universe.
Right.
Yeah. I think all of them are probably a little concerned about what's going on now.
Especially, yeah. Yeah, especially because, like, as an audience, we know that Moff Gideon didn't die.
Right.
But for the Din, like, seeing his realization, the horror, like, okay, like, I can't just keep hopping around the galaxy trying to find this right. Jedi. I'm now on the time limit because now I know this guy's going to try and get this baby back.
Yeah, for sure. I also really love the midichlorian count reference there.
M count,
yeah. Baby.
And, awesome.
And so artfully done that, like, how can we tie this in to the greater canon, but then dance around like this word that's been so, you know, demonized or whatever, you know, like midichlorian count, like it's what someone would name a parody news site.
nice.
Actually, so, wish I thought of that. That's great.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay.
You know I've got a website called the Midichlorian Count.
I remember it very well.
No, I don't.
Okay, that's why everyone stopped. Because okay. I actually, yeah, look it up, Corey. You'll be very
shocked. Wow, I thought I just said the worst thing in the world. Okay, great. <Good to
know. laughs> but yeah, I love... they sort of got to include it, but dance around the, like, you know, the Jar Jar Binks, like that reaction that references to the prequel.
That's how you do it. Like, that's how you explain gobbledygook science fiction shenanigans. How you don't do it is the Rise of Skywalker, Sith magic, crazy stuff that only the Emperor knew. Like, that's the stuff that I was like, okay, two on the nose, M count. That's how you do it.
Perfect. Yeah, exactly. And I love the reveal that they all thought Moff Gideon was dead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
like that was super dope. And it's like it's just so fascinating. So do you guys think? Like my sort of initial theory was the blood from Yoju that they're using to make, you know, these clones and stuff, that was separate from the Dark Troopers. Do you think
I think it's separate.
Yeah, what do you think, Corey?
I think it's a bit of both. I think there's a couple things going on. I do think that Moff Gideon is in the know about Palpatine. I do think that Snoke needs to come into play very soon in the Star Wars world. So it makes sense that they're working on Snoke himself, but also I'm sure to the side, they're also trying to create an army, and whatever they can do with the blood and whatever they can work on with it, they'll do. But I do agree that I think a couple of projects are going on at the same time.
Okay. But do you think those Dark Troopers have got the blood as well?
I do. Yeah. I think they're the experiments to see if it'll work or not.
Like a super soldier program.
Kind yeah, of thing. Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
What do you think, Claire?
I'm conflicted because I feel like they've talked so much about how this is going to tie into the origins of the First Order. So I know that, and we haven't seen, and this means nothing because every new Star Wars movie, there's a new action figure that we need to sell, a new trooper and a new packaging and a new XYZ. And I get it. We've got our Sith troopers. We got our Death troopers in Rogue One. Dark Troopers in The Mandalorian looks like it's going to be. And that's not me like hating on it at all, because every time there's a new trooper, I'm like, oh, good. Give me the new trooper. But I think that it probably is somewhat of both. The more that I talk to other people about it, I think that that makes more sense. But I think that yeah, this is going to be our avenue to our rough drafts to getting to Palpatine in a real corporeal form, cloned and in the flesh, doing his Sithy thing. But and with Snoke being the rough draft, bad rough draft that your teacher circles and highlights a million different things on it when they give it back to you, like, do better next time. That's going to be Snoke. And I think it's through this project that it's going to happen.
I do have to say that now that Corey's gone, he's walked off somewhere, it looks like Claire has got all these signed Clone Wars merchandise in her room now.
Yeah, it all flows into one back.
Yeah.
Honestly, I mean, I'll take it. My room looks fantastic.
Yes, there you go.
Like, I think one of the things about this whole sequence is that the way they're framing it, especially like later on in the episode, it certainly seems like Moff Gideon is one of those very much more of a pride than a Hux. Like, he's more into the whole Palpatine stuff of it. Like, very, like, I feel like it's more Sith related. So that's why I'm going with the Snoke stuff. And I think with the Dark Troopers in the EU as well, they were droid versions of the Dark Troopers. And I feel like if these are droids, that makes more sense in terms of like Din's backstory. Because, you know, he has this sort of distrust of some droids, and he may have like improved that with IG-11. But if you've got these like evil versions coming in, trying to hurt the baby, that's a good good conflict.
It's going to flare back up, you reckon?
It could be.
I'll say about the Dark Troopers, heard something really cool about them.
Oh, scoop!
Limit at that.
You can't just leave it at that.
Leave it at that.
Thank you for talking for me. Thank you for speaking up, Claire, because I was like, come on, man. You just can't leave it at that.
Corey, listen, buddy. I don't. This is how I feel.
What did they do to us?
Come on. Do you want me to say?
Please.
You will definitely know on Friday.
Oh, there we go.
You'll definitely know on Friday. It's something.
Ahsoka is a robot, confirmed.
That's right. Here's what I'll say is this particular scene I had heard about in August, and I thought it was the most bizarre thing. And at the end, when I realized it was the Dark Troopers, like when we were off camera, Noah and I were totally freaking out, realizing what was going on. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I can tell you guys off air, but I don't want to spoil it for anyone who's watching.
Is it going to be an army of Ian McDermott's?
Yes, that's right. It's
like
all
really like Ian McDermott.
Yeah.
Are they just going to keep saying "roll it again"?
Do it.
Oh goodness.
Oh, this is interesting. Say that's... it or Toro will eat you.
I don't like that.
Oh, I love this theory. Maybe there's a baby Yoda in each Dark Trooper.
So are they just going to go around eating everything?
My God.
Now we've got a question. Will this, is this going to be in the next episode, this scene?
Yes.
Oh. Interesting. Oh, Arash. Wow. What a potential scoop there. Now, this shot, I'm a sucker, guys.
Oh, I'm telling you right there, that gave me indoor vibes. That gave me everything. I was just like,
"Look, we got something on an Imperial Senate podcast called, like, we talk about getting moist." And I'm telling you now,
that's it.
Just fire forward. You're just like, oh,
full on waterfall, baby. More than moist. Full on drenched.
Pure Camino vibe.
Pure Camino.
That was such, you guys are in just such podcast sync together. You're like, we've got this thing on the Imperial Senate podcast called Getting Moist. And Claire's like going, aha, yeah.
We're a good team, you know.
Yeah. We're in sync.
Oh, goodness.
Look, anything with a scout trooper in, you've won me over. But can we just talk about that little blaster? Those tiny little blasters.
Oh, cutie. So
good. Oh, hey. Get it wet. Get it wet, Charlie.
Here we go.
On the ankle.
Oh.
No, there is a shot where they zoom in on the boot when he's accelerating.
Yes.
And I don't know what it is about him like zooming in on the Stormtrooper boot where I'm just like, oh, boot. And I like fell out of my chair. I was like, oh my God, they showed us the boot. And that's how you know that you were a crazy person.
Claire's going to get a scout trooper cut out of a boot.
That'll be the Charlie? Monday reveal.
No, no hate. No hate. Don't kink shame.
A big wet boot. Then.
Big wet boot. He's going to give us the big
crest,
wet boot.
This is the thing. If I didn't like the episode, I'd be like, how did they get the Razor Crest fixed so quickly? But because I loved it, I'm like, yeah, Razor Crest is fixed. Awesome.
I really wanted Harrison Ford just to appear up now going, yahoo!
Yeah. this episode, it just, like, it said it was going to be one thing, and then it just, like, all of a sudden, there's this dogfight. This, like, dogfight in this, oh. And I love the volcano rivers in the underneath.
Yeah, the lava flow.
Did anyone have like? Were you like me? Were you just like, well, that's a pretty quick fix, but come on, look at it. It's doing big U-turns in the sky. This is the best.
Oh yeah, no,
I just said this is what they expect us to execute when we're playing the Squadrons game. They expect us to just be able to hit like drift 180s and then barrel roll down and focus. Yeah, just as you're coming through it, I'm like, I'm not an ace combat pilot, but yeah, it was cool, man. That's all I thought right away. It was just like, come on, man. Honestly, this is what they expect us to pull off when we're playing co-op on Squadrons and everybody's crashing into each other. But this, the flight and like the actual flight sequences and all that stuff, they've gotten so much better at it. I mean, from the entry of the atmosphere in the episode before that to him escaping the Republic pilots and into him taking on TIE fighters was like just awesome.
And hey, in the chat, Mark Perez is here to help us out. They got it fixed so quickly so that it was easier for Gideon to track them. Mm-hmm. So in the backstory, you could go, hey, they got some Imperial, they really hustled on it. So, the sooner they're back in, the sooner they can chase them somewhere. So,
well, Grief told them to make it a priority to fix it first. He yelled it out at them, and then they were like, well, we're going to do it either way. And they obviously bugged the whole thing, too.
You think they'll go full Empire, and it'd be like the little wires are the thing that's broken, and then Baby Yoda would have to go in. Put them in together.
Oh,
and
no.
They hide the space out of it.
Oh no. No more electricity. No more.
Imagine the twist that Grief Karga is actually still working against Mando.
Look. How dare you?
Oh
come on. Oh, no. But actually in our reaction show,
what did they do to us?
Sorry.
A Roger Press and I definitely brought a because Araj asked me, he goes, do you trust Grief Karga? And I'm like, I kind of don't. Then it was revealed who the actual saboteur is. And then I go, okay, kind of brought, but it made me look at him a different way. It kind of made me think, you know, what if he is still working? Yeah. And he says, hey, Mando, it's business, man. You know, that's what he'll do.
I don't love that.
I'm sorry. I just don't want to be shocked.
That's it. That's it.
Grandpa Grief. You know? Grandpa Grief. I can't handle that.
This concept is officially
okay.
That's a vibe check.
That is a major vibe check.
I'm majorly checked right now.
I'd be heartbroken. Are you serious?
Of course.
Well, of course you would. Yeah, it's definitely. I mean, come on. It's like The Rock being the people's champ and then turn around being the corporate champ. It destroyed everybody's soul at some point. It just is what it is, man. It sucks, but if it happens, it happens, you know. I just don't think it will. I think he's turned over a new leaf.
I mean, we should have known when they got that little bug person to bug the ship.
Nah.
That's called stereotyping, Charlie, and it is not okay.
Look, I'm sorry. Like,
I mean, he had the right when he looked at the camera. You're like, ah, trouble right there.
Bad guy.
Trouble right there.
Also, that he's on that planet from Solo, right? Mimban.
Yes, he's a Nimbanese or something. Because some people messaged me that saying they were saying it was
Oh my god.
Whoa!
Hey, what's up? That's the First Order's cloning program at work, right there, everybody.
My name's Corey Van Dyke.
Where's your hat?
Where's the hat, Corey? Give me the hat. Give me your hat now, fast. We dropped the ball on this.
Oh, there we go. It doesn't even. Oh wait, there we go.
Hey, Noah. So just then,
I'm Corey. What's up, man? Oh, I can't wear this.
I was going to say, babies are not for you, dude.
No.
I mean, they are, but...
my hair is too good to not
Yeah,
show
I was
going to
say, your hair has been
shaped
just nicely, man.
Yes. Yeah, come on
in. Wow. That was, like, that was not...
like unexpected.
I'm a big fan of the flow, buddy, and thanks, covering buddy. It up. That is
no, you can't. It's like it should be illegal to do that.
The Jabba flow.
The Jabba flow.
Oh yeah, here.
Yeah, let him hear.
Hey,
that's the weirdest thing you've done.
Hey, Noah. So Corey just told us about that scene that is in next episode. Do you want to tell us a bit more about that?
Did you tell them about Grease 2?
Grease 2.
Grease 2. Yeah, no. There's this movie called Grease 2. It's like the best musical I've ever seen in my life.
Die.
Thank you, Noah.
Charlie knows what's up.
I want to die.
All right. Well, Claire's doing well. then we hit maybe one of the. It's got to be in the top five Yoju gifts. The spewy, and I've only just seen this now. But when he's spewing, his little toothy pegs.
Oh, pumpkin. I love that we're zooming in on the throw up and also still awing.
Oh, it's so adorable. This is why you don't have children. This is disgusting.
Jeez. You're not wrong.
That's my, by the way, this is my new reaction image I'm going to use to bad takes on Twitter. Just the vomit.
So the Mandalorian blows up all the TIE fighters, and then we get the return of the X-Wing pilot doing his very drab custodian style policeman work, doing a report, and Carl Weathers, Carga. The guff that he gives him, it's all time. Noah, how did you you haven't had a chance to give us much. So what did you make of Greef Karga's giving a bit of lip?
No, to, I love it.
Yeah. The X-Wing pilot.
I love it. Also this X-Wing pilot, Carson,
Carson.
What's his other name though? He's a full name. Do we know?
Carson.
Yeah. I love that this guy's well, in our reaction, I was like, is this the only guy in the galaxy that flies an X-Wing? But also it's true, like he's you know, doing this investigation.
Patrolling the outer rim.
Yeah, patrolling the outer rim. And I love that. I thought, and also Greef in this episode was all around was just awesome. And I love I just love sassy Greef Karga. It's awesome.
It was so good. And also just the afterwards looking at the Mithril and going, what? Like I Mithril,
he was great too. Mithril was awesome too in this episode. I was a big fan of him. I've probably gone over all this in the last hour, 47 minutes. So.
Well, one thing we didn't go over enough, according to the chat, a lot of comments was we didn't talk about the neck gas enough. Apparently, people want Claire's neck gas material.
You've done it quite often before the recording episode.
Oh, you know what? I do it to torture you. I burp to torture you. But neck farts are great. Every sound effect the Mithril had when he turned his head, it was just like squelching, disgusting noises. And I'm like, this is the best thing ever. I live for this. I live for neck farts and weird squelching when you turn your heads. Those are the species that I want to grab a drink at the cantina with. And Mithril was no different. He was great.
I'd forgive him for being a corrupt accountant. Like if he was my accountant, right. He's like, he's funny. He's got character.
Look at him. Yeah. He's just trying his best, you know?
You gotta get on that. Start doing that.
What, doing this? Yeah, apparently. Jeez.
Look at the missile.
And David Lozano and Sam Kari are letting us know it's Carson Teva is the X-Wing pilot. He then goes outside and talks to someone about how he notices some things are changing in the galaxy out here. Very interesting. Very, very interesting. But nothing was of interest compared to this final scene.
Oh, yeah.
It's a cool little callback in here on the jackets. That logo is from like a old source book. I've got some info on where it is here. So, oh, here he goes. It's the Imperial Department of Military Research.
Cool.
Which is in canon and legends. It sort of goes back, I think, maybe to the late 80s. But this is the shocking thing I discovered. They are responsible, right? They did like helmets and stuff like that in canon. But in non-canon, they worked on the first Death Star. The second Death Star. And the third Death Star. Death Star. Oh, when's the third one?
I don't recall
it. I mean, things come in. It's got to come in threes, man. Like, you got to do it.
I've got to complete the trilogy. Got to complete
exactly,
the trilogy.
Yeah.
Sex Wedge, one of our favorites.
What a great
one. Everyone's up for a Sex Wedge on Saturday night.
Suppose that thing.
We live for the Sex Wedge.
He says, I really wanted Trapper Wolf, a.k.a. Akka, Dave Filoni, to appear with Carson. No Sex Wedge. I say no to the Sex Wedge on a Saturday night because I...
was bummed about that. I was bummed. I was, where's Dave?
He's there. He's
Trapper Wolf.
Thought that he was walking around because his X-Wing was there, I was like, oh, don't appear. Come on, Dave.
No, you know, he was walking around. Like, I just like to think Dave was like walking around, like getting, you know, going to the little, like getting the little kebabs of Salacious or whatever's on it. You know what I mean? But
wow.
Okay, picture this. Okay, next season, we see Trapper Wolf, and he comes in and he's with his dad, played by George Lucas.
Oh.
I can't even be excited about that comment after the previous comment, but that would probably be cool.
Oh, sorry, I was just trying to think of like what else do we know they put on kebabs?
I don't know what people are talking about.
I mean, at this point, if there's actual macaroni,
Aaron, that's awful. By the way, I hate that video.
Good. That's what you get.
No, Noah and Claire's first argument online live. Noah, how do you feel?
It's finally here. If this is...
I love how Steel just says...
One day, Steel, off air, I want to have an entire argument with only the clips that you have of Noah.
Please!
Hey, bud. Nobody.
Jax.
All right, we're muting.
Oh, goodness gracious me.
What just happened? Once I start hitting those clips in success, I black out and I'm just like, what just happened?
Scare you? You guys did not witness this, but he just got up and the Cobb Vanth and Bo-Katan sandies were right there. He went like that. And I will say, when I left for a second to use the bathroom and I came back, they scared me again, too. Oh. It's very menacing.
At least you're consistent. At least you're consistent. I was thinking if Filoni had just come back, like he just walks on to the set, just like on.
Yeah, I don't like him.
Hey, guys, I thought of this really good line for Ahsoka for the next episode. Oh, you're filming? Okay. Just give her the badge and we'll go. Come on.
What if we call them wolf troopers?
Then we end.
With... We will be ready.
What do you think, Noah? What do you think? How do you think is Yoju blood connected to the Dark Troopers? They have been through the audio. We tell you what happens.
Right.
Service. They've been identified as Dark Troopers. Do you think Yoju's blood is involved with them at all, or is this a separate issue?
Yeah, I think Yoju is involved with that. I mean, we've probably talked about this already, but last night on our show, Kessel Run Transmissions Roundtable, it's really great. Tate was on, our buddy Tate, and he told me, I had no idea, but I guess like the Dark Troopers in Legends were like exoskeletons, and they had like force sensitives inside of them. So I think that's an awesome storyline if they're using Yoju's blood to make this army of force sensitive beings that's going to go inside these Dark Trooper exoskeletons. So I hope so. Also, I think it'd be cool if maybe they find Ahsoka because we know they're probably going to follow Din to Corvus, and he's going to go meet Ahsoka. So I think it'd be cool if they capture Ahsoka to go, oh, here's another one. Go get her stuff too. You know what I mean? And then the rest of the this is all Tate's, by the way. This is his theory. It was on the show last night, but then the rest of the season is them trying to get Ahsoka back.
Hey, Noah, do you think they get the blood out of the Yoju? I don't think they wouldn't do it like that, surely.
No. They probably do that to loosen them up a little bit, but then they get the needles out and
Jesus.
You got to think
they're nice to him? You think they're nice to him when they're draining his blood? They're being cool? Come on. Team Moff Gideon here.
That's a good one.
Space Gus.
Space Gus.
I'm going to kill your infant Yoda.
I got to be honest. Moff Gideon is already like top 10 Star Wars characters for me. He's just...
I love his delivery.
He's awesome.
It's so good. It's so menacing.
I can't wait to see what he does next week.
Yeah, I know.
He reminds me so much of like Mendo in that just like... You are so good at this.
You're right.
Everything you say is dope. Like you are like so cool, and you're in Star Wars.
I'm gonna make a reference that's really old, but I just need someone to like scuff his boot, like his character, and do the right thing when they scuffed his shoe and he went crazy. There's he said, "You stepped on the Jordans, man," and he just went off. So it scuffs the thing, and he's just like. He stepped on my boot. He just starts like making a big stink. And...
Is that him?
Yeah, that's him.
Wow.
His character bugging out and do the right thing. That's Giancarlo Esposito. Yeah.
Oh, you'd not want him bugging out about some Jordans.
No.
Oh my God. He'd be like, updated one. You scuffed my darksabers.
Yeah.
Like, exactly. Adidas darksabers.
I just had a custom polish job put on these. And that person's dead. Can't come back and polish them again. You're going to pay for it.
All right. David Guzzano wants to know, we getting Darksaber action in the next episode?
I could see Moff pulling it out for a sec just to chop down some whatever the hell. What?
Hey, man.
What did I say?
You do you. You know what I'm saying?
You don't think
so? No, we believe.
What am I missing here?
On a PG show, Noah?
oh, sorry. What did I say?
I can see him pulling it out for a second.
Hey.
I don't know why it just happened.
Come on. He's going to. Sorry. He will.
He is going to have a spike.
What do you want me to say? No.
Oh, God.
using it.
He'll use it. Okay, so now everything sounds stupid. So yeah, he's gonna pull it out. He's gonna pull it out and then turn it on, and then he's gonna whip it around and take some people out.
Whip it around.
Maybe.
Yes. Yes.
No, I'm trying, Sam. I'm trying, buddy. I am. I didn't even say these are the ones. I said a perfectly fine, you know.
We've been in a good flow, Noah. So
they made it. They made it not safe for work, Steele. It's not my fault. True. Don't dock my pay, Steele. This is their fault. You're not getting paid for this? Oh, I am.
Oh my god.
Oh,
none of us are getting paid for this.
That's not what I. Sorry, me and Steele have an agreement. So.
Yes.
The comes agreement. In for the last 30 minutes.
And- no.
Paycheck.
To Noah's credit, the agreement is he's put in $50 to the super chat.
I was going
to
say, isn't this the money I've earned up here at the top in the super chat bar?
That's how come much on.
No, I'm just kidding. No, seriously. This
business
is awesome.
Dealings out in the open, huh?
Yeah, I haven't got to talk about this. This is awesome. And I know Maggie was here, but this is an awesome thing she's doing. So, I'm happy to help, and hopefully we've got a lot of super chats tonight to go to that.
No, well, I thought it was really cool that you got it out, your wallet, that is.
Yeah. No, thanks. Yeah, I whipped it out.
I feel like I'm in an episode of like The Naked Gun or something with the puns.
Right.
You guys are out of control. Hey, let's go to our final thoughts on the episode. And Claire, keep it in, keep your gas in.
Sorry.
You always let your neck gas off at the most inappropriate times.
I really do. I'm sorry. I need to work on that.
So
not polite.
Let's go to you with our score out of 10 and final thought on the episode.
So I would give it an 8 out of 10. I really enjoy, like, it's really hard to rank all of these episodes because they've all been like really great in my book. They've been what I've been hoping for. And you know, Carl Weathers did a fantastic job both directing and performing in this. It was just charming from start to finish. No roasting monkey lizards, which, you know, definitely is a plus. I just enjoyed this from start to finish. I enjoyed the Mithril coming back. I love Horatio Sands. I know how big of a Star Wars fan he is. So I love seeing Star Wars fans in Star Wars. So that's an extra little like warm fuzziness in my heart. And it was just entertaining, delightful Baby Yoda action and exciting, beautiful special effects, beautiful sound effects. And I could not have ever pictured a Star Wars television show to hit all the right notes as much as Mando has this season. And, in Filoni and Favreau, I trust.
Excellent. Noah Van Outlaw. Now, I know you are well positioned as a Star Wars insider, but I'd hope you'd put your bias aside and right. give us a on the nose, level headed mark out of 10 and final thoughts on the episode.
I'm going to give it an 8. Yeah, I'm going to give it an 8 out of 10. I think it's a great episode. I said this in the chat earlier, but I do think this is actually the most plot driven episode we've had this season. This is answered the most, or not really answered the most questions, but given us hints toward most of the questions that I think we have, you know, about what are they doing with Baby Yoda, you know, exactly all that stuff, like the cloning stuff, we see the Dark Troopers. We know Moff Gideon has a plan for them. So I think I love that about this episode because I was one of those people that, you know, was like, let's move this story forward. And I know a lot of people think, you know, episode two of the season was fine, and I liked the episode, but one thing I just wish it would have moved forward. And so I'm happy this episode did that a lot. And 8 out of 10, and I just cannot wait to see next week's episode. It's going to be – the rest of the season is just going to be bonkers. It's going to be insane.
Well, the thing is, we've got no visual.
Right.
Yeah.
There's exactly. no more trailer footage used up. All right. Going to have some fun. How do you two little sad boys, after watching that Monday Night Football trailer of nothing.
Oh no.
What would you, Corey, what would you have to say to those two little sad boys?
I'm still gonna say they should have marketed it better. I will say that. I mean, I know the show's doing fine, but I think it could be doing better. But Corey, you go ahead.
I
stick to your guns. Don't let Steel do this to you, buddy.
I'll be quite honest. I delete that video. No, I didn't. But looking
don't
back
do that
at it,
talking to me,
see man. What I caught myself last night because I said,
"Hey, Corey, what's the point of deleting it? I've got it all here."
Okay,
what's a vibe check?
That is a major vibe check.
I'm majorly checked right now.
Here's the thing. Last night I was on the phone with Fred, and I was like, you know, how cool.
With who?
Friend?
Oh, I thought you said with Fred.
You said
I
with
said,
who
the f-
you
who
said
the
with,
hell is Fred?
You said with who as if like
I love
like,
this when they just turn into an old married couple.
Okay, go ahead.
Sorry. Okay, all right. Are we good here? What's going on?
Charlie, do you think they're Mr. and Mrs. Seinfeld or Mr. and Mrs. Costanza?
Costanza for sure. Costanza, no doubt. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Two old dudes from the Muppets.
Waldorf and Statler.
Yeah.
Can I speak now? Or what? Are you gonna take, you're gonna, I'm trying.
Ones,
I'm trying to dress. Okay. All right. Great.
Don't yell at me.
Okay. The two on the Muppets. They're trying to be funny on purpose.
There it goes again.
Oh,
he's talking. Yeah. He's just talking. All right. Go. Sorry. Say your thing.
What I was gonna say was, I said last night, I was like, wow, how cool is it that we have no footage and Disney was kind enough to hold back things? Then I stopped myself and like, oh shit. Like, oh, sorry. I'm sorry.
You might as well just not even apologize because that makes it a whole thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No. In all honesty, I do agree with what Noah was saying. Though they could have been marketed.
It could have been marketed, but I will say I do think it's actually hear me. The hell are you moving the microphone? The thing is, I am excited though that we haven't seen. But thing is, there's episode they could have still done this. Like they could have still done this. It had the last four episodes on it, but show more from those first four episodes.
You done?
Okay.
Am I done? I just got it. I've been here 10 minutes, bro. You've been here an hour, two hours, 5 minutes long. Hey. Hey. Hey, Claire.
Hey.
But okay? In all honesty, I have to say.
Get in here if you're going to. You can't even. They can't even see
I, dude, you're so big. I can't even come in here.
Oh, yeah.
That's a new clip. That is a new clip.
That's what she said in the comments now. Like,
I'm trying. We look like we're just completely in. Like,
all right, fine. Let's get close.
All right.
Bro.
Oh, okay.
There it is.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, baby. Yes.
How are you doing? Okay, so were you giving your rating or what's.
I already gave it.
Okay.
Right. We're waiting on you.
Oh, okay. I thought it was a great episode. I loved it.
Wait.
Oh, wait. No.
I'm just trying to get this down. So, was the line, "You're so big, I can't come in here"? Was that the line?
Oh, my God. I feel like I'm on Imperial Senate, but now you can see my face. It's terrible.
Well, I can't tell if I'm like asleep and delirious.
Hey, one Marvel fan says, "Steel, clip that." And I'm like, brother, it's already clipped.
Yeah, honestly, the episode was great. I would give it an 8 out of 10. But can I just say for everyone that next Friday, we're getting Dave Filoni bringing Ahsoka Tano into live action with his vision and what he wants to do with the character. That's crazy that that's a thing that's going to happen. I'm so excited. I'm counting the days. I haven't been this excited since the Siege of Mandalore. And before that, I hadn't been that excited since there's been a lot of things to be excited about. But honestly, it feels like we're getting a Star Wars movie next Friday for me. I'm just like, holy crap. We're going to see Ahsoka Tano. We're going to see Ahsoka Tano. Okay. So, what was that shit?
Hey, way to put it down, Corey. Hey, way man, to put it down, dude. That's right, man.
Yeah, you go, I can't wait.
Yes.
You go hard.
I
yes.
can't wait. no, but God. Yeah, no, it's back. It's going to be a huge week next week.
Charlie, what would you score that segment of the podcast?
Apparently, Reddit's going to have a field day.
Look at them. Yeah, we're going to be clipped and like...
Oh my gosh.
I just love how you spent about 10 minutes debating... setting up to a conversation that I can't even remember what it was for. yeah, I mean, the episode, I'd give it an 8 out of 10. Like Claire said, I think it was just great. Some of the stuff I love about The Rise of Skywalker is the Palpatine shenanigans. I know people don't really care for that stuff, but I've been a big fan of the way Disney have been like going back and looking at the ways ever since episode 3, Palpatine and Vader have been doing one specific thing. Which is trying to extend their life. And they're doing it different ways. They do it in the VR game. You see Vader doing his own thing. You see it in the comics. Like they're both doing their own thing. And I feel like this is just another extension of that. Palpatine's got his secret cloning shenanigans. I like the idea that he's like... we've seen him in the Clone Wars and Rebels try and kidnap kids before. And, you know, do weird stuff. So it's not really a surprise if it is Snoke. And what better way to set up this... Oh, I'm sorry.
Sorry, the dog. Sorry. Yo, keep going. I'm sorry. We're totally ruining Also, I opened something.
Stop touching it. I'm sorry. Stop touching it.
Never clicked.
Where is this coming from?
I clicked this. I clicked
this. How do I turn it off?
I don't know. I think it's an iTunes. It's so
not
loud.
iTunes.
It is.
Oh, it is. Sorry. Okay.
Holy shite. All right. I'm sorry.
Sorry, guys.
Okay, Charlie, I really am sorry.
Eight out of 10.
There you go. Score, final thought. Done.
Jesus. We're falling off the rails.
Stressful 30 seconds.
It was really stressful.
It was so loud. We clicked a bad batch clip Corey had downloaded because it's Corey. And the thing is, it just blew my eardrums out. Pretty much.
Oh, good. So true.
All right. For those listening to the podcast, there's an image of Beavis and Butthead on the couch. Okay. All right. So we've got Charlie down for an 8. Les, what do you got? What do you got, buddy?
I think I'm going to go with an 8 also and just keep it together or keep with the group. It for Carl Weathers, if it was his directorial debut, great. The action sequences, the just TIE fighters. I mean, I'm going to say this too. For a lot of you all that are Clone Wars fans, I'm not. I didn't watch the Clone Wars. But I'm really, really happy seeing and experiencing everybody's fulfillment. Like everybody, you know, I'm watching with Araj on the Sith list and we're doing our reaction. And he's like, dude, we would have never got this. He's like, we only thought Filoni was going to do, you know, just animated stuff. And that was it. He was done. You know, and it's like now he's here when Favreau brought this to life. And, you know, he's got a way to do certain things. Just the fact that all these different things are coming from everywhere. They're not afraid to blend, you know, the legend stuff and new stuff. And not only that, if this is a way to honestly explain the whole line of somehow Palpatine is alive, if I was Disney, this is the long game. This is literally the checkmate move to shut down all that other stuff. I would just say, hey, Favreau, can you fix this through the show? And there it is, dude. And now we got like tanks everywhere with clones all over the place, failed clones, and maybe the final shot.
I don't know if it needs to be fixed, Les, but yeah, I see what you're
saying. I'm just saying, you know, for every now and then, let's just be honest. If you're sitting in the chair as the king, you when people take digs at you, you're going to feel it. And let's be honest, when they just hand waved, oh, Palpatine's alive, and you're just like, what? How?
It would certainly make it more palatable.
How? Now it's like, shut up, all you haters. This is the check mark right here. We started this. This is how it goes. And you know what? I would think this could be a way for them to either just clean things up or throw it in people's faces too. Like, yes, there was always a plan. There was always something. And it's just really cool to see. And really cool to see everybody else's reactions and enjoy, you know, how they're looking, going, I thought they'd never see something come to life. So there it is, man.
Again,
8 out of 10.
Sweet. I don't think so much, in my theory, it wouldn't be that, like, they're getting him to clean it up. I just think that those two are such nerds and such good storytellers They're like, because they add so many things from everywhere. It's like, oh, and then how can we make it like feed into what, like not so much like make an excuse for it or try to validate it, but it's like there. So let's feed in there on the
one. Oh, yeah, no, inadvertently they could easily say, oh, and this just answers that question.
You know,
there you go.
It's just additional context,
There it is, yeah. It just helps tie things together. And either way, I'm going to enjoy it either way, whether they give me a great explanation or not. Like, it is what it is. We're all going to enjoy it. Let's be honest here.
Look, if they're making spin-offs from the Mandalorian characters, I wouldn't be surprised if in the finale for this season, we just see a vat open, steam comes out, very mysterious, and then we just see a title for a new spin-off. Ray's Dad, a Disney Plus show.
Give it to me. Give it to me. I'm so down for that.
Hey, sir, that's just escaped Imperial facility. What's your name? I'm Ray's Dad. Uh-oh.
Yeah. There's an Imperial guy who goes, what's your name? I don't know. Ray's Dad. You can be called Ray's Dad.
Who are your people?
Hello. You know who it would be? You'd say, who are you? And Ray Skywalker.
Hell yeah. Uh-oh, we're venturing into...
They're going to fight again. We better cut out.
Anyway. I couldn't imagine, like, when we're, like, at Celebration, watching the Mandalorian, like, panel and all that stuff, it was great. But in nowhere in my imagination did I think that this show was going to be anywhere near this good.
No, yeah, not at all. Yeah. No.
Like, it's stunning how good it is. And, like, the thought of a Star Wars TV show, you know, it was always interesting. I'd never vote against it, but it was always like, is it going to, like, sort of be whack? Like, is it going to be, like, a watered-down sort of, like wacky, you know, whatever? And, you know, George and our god Rick McCullum tried to do it, and thankfully they couldn't, because I feel like, you know, it would have, you know, sort of sullied the whole thing, and it wouldn't have been this big, vast, you know, story that they can tell because of the volume and all that stuff. So like Star Wars had good timing, like the original. The Mandalorian, as far as getting on streaming, like, and filming, like, it has had the best timing in, like, show business history.
Yeah.
My only negative was an actress that I really wish was not on my screen, which, you know, probably brought down my score a little bit, but it's still a banger, and I am locking in an 8, which brings up the episode average, because Laura actually, it was all 8s except for Laura went for a 7. But through the magic of rounding, I round to the nearest quarter, it actually rounds up to a 8. So it is, I believe, the second highest rated episode for the panel behind last week. Nice. For Bo-Katan. Any theories about where we're going to end up for the next 4 episodes? Les, where do you think it's going to go?
Ooh, it could go... Well, obviously, they're going to end up on Corvus, and it could just be this massive, massive battle. Did I say the planet right? Help me out. Did I say the planet right?
Yeah, Corvus. Yeah.
Yep.
I think that's where we're going to end up. Final episode is just going to be the aftermath of this major skirmish, and we're going to get either Din and everybody standing tall and Moff Gideon taking off, just retreating to continue to the next season.
And let the good people of the internet know where they can track you down. Less is more.
Okay, if you want to follow me on social media, you can follow me on Twitter at @lessismore78. If you want to listen to this voice here, I'm on a show called
Do The Sith List.
It's a great voice. With my good buddy, and other buddies, Raj, Carlos, King, Tom Chansky, and Eric Struthers, sorry. We record on Wednesdays, release on Sundays, so we do have a new episode. It should already be up on all your podcatchers right now in various time zones. And then we also have start our own YouTube channel where we do some awesome reactions, and we're on different roundtables with you guys here.
Excellent. Yeah, subscribe to the Sith List on YouTube, because the you know, you're doing the morning of Mandalorian reactions. Very appreciated. Charlie, where do you reckon it goes? And give us some sweet plugs.
I think we should all be getting ready to bring our umbrellas on a lovely trip because we're going to Camino.
Oh, I thought this was going to be another like very exaggerated moist reference.
I mean, I was waiting for it too.
I mean, just to be quite frank, like I love Camino. So you never know if we see Camino on screen again. Well, you know, I've got to be careful.
Home to one of the best scenes in Star Wars, in my opinion. Kenobi versus Jango. That was.
I mean, what? Because Camino is a great place because it combines two plot points. Number one, you've got the whole shenanigans with the cloning, the whole Baby Yoda stuff. Two, Boba Fett.
You're bringing me.
Mm-hmm. You know, you want to combine those story points? You might want to go home, chill out with Lama Sue.
Claire, where do you reckon it going? And let us know where we can track you down on the internet.
Well, I think, honestly, we've got so much time and I cannot believe, I don't know how we're going to get from point A to point Z at this point. The one thing that I do think is going to happen is that the finale will give us a matchup between Bo-Katan and Moff Gideon for the Darksaber. I want it. I want to watch that so badly. And I want to watch her reclaim Mandalore and reunite all of the splintered tribes and different sects of the Mandalorians. But yeah, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at CStribs. And you can catch me on the Imperial Senate podcast at ImSenatePod on Twitter, at Imperial Senate Pod on Instagram, and at our YouTube channel where we just had a Mandalorian review episode come up with the lovely Amanda Wirtz, which was a great time.
Excellent. Noah Van Outlaw.
Yeah.
Corey Van Outlaw. Let us know where to track you down. And we finally, we've got Oliver wants to know, Corey, quick scoop before this ends.
We have one thing we know, it's coming up in the episode, but I don't want to spoil it for anyone. So.
Okay.
Also on my theories, I don't really have any. I kind of said the one I think was going to happen earlier. I think they're going to capture Ahsoka and they're going to go try to get her back. You can follow me on Twitter though at Outlaw Noah and on Instagram at The Outlaw Noah. Kessel Run Transmissions, KR Transmissions on Twitter, Kessel Run Transmissions on Instagram. We do roundtables for every Mando just episode, just like this. Do reactions for where can they find you?
Well, I mean, as far as theories go, yeah, I think we're gonna get one of the best episodes, one of the best things ever put to screen next Friday. I think like this is just such a huge payoff for people who like me and Claire and Charlie who've been following the Clone Wars for like all this time and like growing up with it, and to know that like Ahsoka is going to be fully realized in live action is, it's like, it's just something that I never thought would happen, and it shows that Star Wars is going in a really good place. And I do think we're going to see Ahsoka fighting fighting for sure next week. So I am stoked. You can follow me at @Core_Wolfpack on Twitter, as well as @Core_Wolfpack on Instagram, @KR Transmissions on Twitter, and @Kessel Run Transmissions on Instagram. Make sure to check out our channel @Kessel Run Transmissions here on YouTube, where you can subscribe for a bunch of Star Wars The Mandalorian content. And
yeah. Thanks.
Excellent.
For letting me hop on here for the last little bit.
Always welcome, Noah. We will be doing our Hyper Chats throughout the week at 4 p.m. West, 7 p.m. East. Hopefully, Corey won't be filming something with his roommate Yoko over there. And he'll be here.
Hey, Yoko, you gonna take that?
All right, step off, Greg.
Yoko,
step off, Greg.
Steel calls Yoko.
Don't do Gundy.
Is it okay, Gundy?
That's a good one.
And oh, a little thing for next week, for the last four episodes, I'm going to do, if you're up, I'm going to do a live stream at 1 a.m. instant reaction, because I just lie in bed and I'm just like, I was like, the other night I was like, why don't I just talk and then I can go to sleep instead of just thinking about all the things anyway. So that'd be a fun bit of extra stuff. But thanks everyone for staying up so late. Thanks to Laura and Maggie. And of course, if you are watching on delay or on podcast, the link will be in your show notes. Trans rights are human rights. This is the way. Going to the transgender law center, and it's over $16,000 raised. It just needs to be altered. And thanks to everyone in the chat for helping out with that. If you can donate afterwards if you wish, and thanks to everyone in the chat for supporting it. You know, it's a tough time to have a spare change, but you know, your support is good. You're the people we want to be hanging out with, talking about Star Wars until Monday. Thanks, everyone. It's been quite a night, and I've got some clips to pull out for next week. That could almost be a clip itself, if taken the wrong way. But let me tell you this, like, I'm sure you all agree that this episode's gone on
long enough.
Oh, so, Lord. May that force be with you. Be good people.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.